Up next, porch posts, installation, and materials on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul. What a concept!
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, Brian, and this is episode number 80.
Number 80,
but Paul, we haven't mentioned numbers in a long time, but this is episode number 80, and last week we had our gripe show, but this week I still have one more gripe I want to get in, but we really want to talk about something more important, and that is a question we've received before and one that I've been engaged in, and that is how to replace your porch post, either we talked before about repairing porch posts, but in this case, it's how you go about replacing posts that are holding up the roof above a porch.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about not only how to do it, but also the materials involved in doing it. And you have a lot of different choices, and I'm going to talk about an interesting one, that is fiberglass reinforced polymer, but we're also going to talk about your other valid choices. But before we do that, let's talk about our contact information.
That's right. You can always call us at area code 818-804-8665, which is TOOL, if you type it out. Or you can use our contact form on the website, www.handyguyspodcast.com, or you can click on the little call me button there and type your phone number in, and then we call you, so you don't need to pay for the call. And just leave your name and email address on the voicemail if you don't get us, and we will email you back with an answer to your question.
Okay, my gripe coming up.
Want great deals on tools that the Handy Guys recommend? Click on the Our Store button at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
Awesome!
I got dust on my feet, a trail of blood.
All right, Brian, we talked about our gripes with Home Depot, Lowe's. This will just take 2 seconds. One more gripe I meant to mention last week, and I forgot.
Okay, what is it?
Our show is live. Brian, when Lowe's first came out, what was the difference that Lowe's, what was the thing that Lowe's did that was better than Home Depot?
The thing that Lowe's did?
That they kind of promoted it and kind of...
You know, I don't know, but I mean, I always liked their store. It was brighter, it seemed.
There you go.
Am I on the right track?
You're on the right track. When you walked into the store, you noticed a difference. It was brighter.
It was bluer.
It was bluer, and it was cleaner. You didn't have clogged up aisles. It was straight lines. You could see down aisles. You
weren't tripping over forklifts and stuff all
exactly.
the time.
Guess what? I was at the Lowe's this week, and notice that I could hardly get down any aisle. They've done the same thing Home Depot is doing. They've put all those displays all up and down every aisle. You know, you got paintbrushes sticking out on this cardboard display and all these things. Literally, if you're pushing a cart with a child, you have to go along the aisles and look down the aisle first to see if you want to go down that aisle when you're trying to get to the other side of the store. Because if there's one or two carts in the aisle, that's enough to block it because they get all that stuff in the way. So Lowe's needs to get on the ball here. They are seriously hurting because I do not want to go into Lowe's. If I have my kids with me, I'm just going to avoid it because I got to push a cart. And it is just such a pain now to get down their aisles. They used to have nice, wide, clean aisles. And guess what? You know what major store is now redoing all their stores and eliminating all the crap that's in the aisles?
Which store is that?
Walmart.
Are they?
They are now going store by store, redoing them all. They want cleaner, brighter. They're going to make the stores nice and bright, and they want it so you can see down every aisle. Nothing is in the way. And they realize that that's a lot more attractive than what Lowe's and certainly Home Depot. Home Depot was already doing that long ago. You couldn't even get down their aisles.
I mean, I think even just the light fixtures that they use in Lowe's and Home
sure.
Depot, I always struck me as, you know, Lowe's was just easier to see stuff.
That's true. They did. You're right. They had a whiter light and brighter.
Yeah.
I'm sure they spent a lot of time thinking about that. But why are they just cluttering up their stores? And not only that, like you said, you get the ladders and all the other stuff.
Right. Right.
In the way, and you can't even get down their aisles. I couldn't believe it. And it's the store, you know, expected to be clean and bright, and it's no All longer.
Right. Another rant.
All right. Up next, Porch Post.
All right.
Okay, Brian, I finally got around to replacing my porch posts, and we've received questions about this. It seems to be a popular thing to do, and I want to talk about it. First of all, let's talk about why you might want to replace your porch posts.
Right. Well, we did a show way back when, you know, I think it was like show number 8 or something, where someone asked us, hey, can you use Bondo if you've got some rotted wood?
Yes.
And sure enough, you can.
Yes.
And you had some rotted wood on your porch post, and you repaired it with some Bondo.
I used Bondo, and it worked for a while, although the porch posts in question, the reason I used it is because they were rotted out. They continued to rot, and it wasn't because of the Bondo's fault. It's just that there were so many problems with these porch posts that, you know, all the Bondo in the world.
So the Bondo was a good solution. At the time, it was a stopgap. Your posts were too far gone to really be effective long term.
It gave me a couple years, though. And it's so easy to use. It was great. I just slapped it on and sanded it and painted it. And now, a couple years later, I finally decided I wanted to replace the porch post. But, you know, you could be not only because of rot, but perhaps you just want to change the styles or or a former homeowner.
The wife factor here to consider.
Exactly.
Right?
Or maybe the posts that were put in just don't match the style of the house. So, it seems very common today, especially in our parts, that you see people putting on round columns, replacing, say, 4x4 posts.
Are they Doric or Iconic columns?
Usually some of each, actually. And not only that, you see the square columns, the heavier, like the 6x6 type columns with trim at the bottom. You have the Roman trim. I think it's the...
Neoclassical style.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And so... those are some other reasons. So, you know, if you need to replace your porch posts, it is definitely a job for the handyman or the handy guy, and it's not that difficult. But there are some choices as far as materials.
Okay.
So when you go to look at materials, you know, one of the main reasons you replace them is because you have some rot, and obviously wood will rot. Now, there are some ways to prevent that. So let's say, Brian, you want to put on wood posts.
Sure.
Maybe you're just replacing 4x4s with more 4x4s or something like that, or 6x6s. And, you know, the easiest way to prevent rot is, you know, you don't want the post to sit right on your porch. So there's feet you can get.
Right,
some
little
bases.
Brackets and bases and things like that to keep it up off the concrete or the porch floor.
Not only that, but they usually grip the porch floor real well so they won't slide and you don't have to attach them.
Right.
And
let the weight
way.
Kind of hold them in there sometimes.
So, and also obviously you want to prime them, seal the ends.
The ends is critical, Paul, because on these wood posts, you can buy them pre-painted or pre-primed.
Yep.
But when you cut them to fit to length, now you've got exposed wood, and you've got to make sure you prime and paint that before you put it up, that cut end.
Exactly.
Even if it's pressure treated, you want to get a sealer on there
and
on that cut
preferably
end.
You put it on the top. So if it's under a roof line and then,
do your cut on the top if you can, you know, depending on a, you know, if you've got a turned post.
Right.
You know,
you may not be able to.
Yeah. So
what is
it? Cut them all the same end.
Exactly. Yeah.
Don't cut 6 inches off of the bottom of one and 6 inches off the top on the other.
Right.
It won't look right.
So, you know, wood is a good option. And I'll talk in a little while about the benefits of it, especially over some of the other materials that we're going to now talk about. Another option is you can get PVC posts. And
that's the white plastic, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a couple of varieties of PVC. There is some structural PVC where they actually reinforce it with some sort of a steel post inside or perhaps wood. Or you can get PVC cladding that goes over wood, like a 4x4.
Right. That's what I have. I have a... My front porch has posts that are PVC, but inside the column is a pressure-treated 4x4. So the guy who installed those, I don't know if it came together or if it was just a sleeve that he put around a 4x4 that he acquired separately. I'm not sure. I wasn't there when he put it in.
No. No, with a wood, you can get them in different styles. You can get the columns, you can get the square, you can get the, you know, round, you can get the turned, cottage style, you can, all different things. With a PVC, you have some choices, not as many. And the big difference is you can't do what with PVC?
You can't paint it.
Right. I guess you could paint it, but you wouldn't want to because it wouldn't hold paint very well.
No.
So you're generally going to go with the color you get it in, and usually that's going to be white. I don't know if there's many other choices.
There's a brown and you know, a couple other colors, I think.
Gray, maybe. Something.
Be so, special orders, but usually it's going to be white.
So that's PVC, and it looks like...
Looks like PVC.
PVC, right? Exactly. So there's not much you can do to make it, you know, look like stone or like wood or anything like that. It's going to look like what it is. Maintenance, great. You know, no problems there. It's easy to maintain.
Yes.
But versus wood, which requires you to paint it and maintain the painted surface. There's a third option, and that's becoming more and more popular. Now, the previous two options, wood is structural, depending on, you know, the type of column that it is, on how many pounds it can hold. If it's a turned piece of wood, and if it's, you know, just not real wide, it may only be able to hold 4,000 pounds. If it's a bigger piece of wood, it may be able to hold up to 5,000 or 10,000. PVC by itself is not structural. It needs some sort of reinforcement. Well, this new material has the benefits kind of both. You can get it in all different varieties, sizes, shapes, like wood, but it is also structural, and it is paintable.
Okay.
And that is fiberglass reinforced polymer, or FRP, fiber reinforced polymer. Or
FRP.
FRP, okay. Or it can also be called fiber reinforced plastic. It is a material which... I kind of like call it like it's like a bowling ball, you know.
It's like a bowling ball.
It's heavy, it's strong, but it can be made to look like, if you want it to look more like wood or a little bit more like marble, you can do that in the manufacturing process. So you can have a glossier coat or you can have a rougher coat, and then you can paint it.
Okay.
So, and it is structural. And pound for pound, it's one of the strongest materials of all of the above that we've mentioned.
So it's stronger than the wood. It's certainly stronger than PVC.
Yes.
And
it's still heavy, but pound for pound, it's very strong. So
we didn't talk about steel, but I guess that's not going to be very typical in a residential application.
Yeah, I mean, you could put a steel post up, but, you know, just a Molly post or whatever they're called.
Right, like in your basement.
A column, yeah, like in your basement. I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
Your neighbors may not be due. You can actually do that, though, and put a cladding around it.
Sure.
But you still have to make sure it's the right kind of post. You don't want it rusting out and that sort of thing.
Okay, so FRP is like the new thing for posts.
It's the new thing. It's a bit pricey.
I was just going to ask. It sounds like it's going to be a little more expensive.
It's going to be a little more expensive. If you get standard sizes, like you need 8 foot or something like that, it's not too bad. You can find round columns at your big box store, 8 footers, for around $150 a piece.
Okay.
If you need odd sizes.
You've got a huge porch, right, Paul? You've got probably, 20, 30 posts across every 8 foot apart, right?
Now, if you had a porch like that where you had a lot of posts, then you may not want to use this. This is more for something where you need kind of make an architectural statement. You have two big columns in front of your door and a little small roof.
Like a portico.
Exactly. That's where you want to use this. The big advantages of this material are that it does not rot out. You can sit it right on your concrete. It does not, and it is structural. You can get these posts to hold 10,000 pounds, depending on the size, 15,000 pounds, 20,000 pounds. They are very strong, and they're for the weight. They're usually hollowed out columns, and they're still, you get that strength. So
one pound person
for pound,
can handle them.
Yeah, I mean, you could have a concrete column that's stronger, but it would be a lot heavier.
I would imagine.
One person can handle them, depending on how big of it is. You know, mine were almost 9 feet tall, and they're very heavy. But I could kind of bear hug them and lift them to where I needed, but I wouldn't want to move them more than 8 or so feet.
Okay.
And to get them out of my truck, I kind of slid them across down and carefully put them on the yard and slid them. But they aren't light.
Okay.
But they're certainly more difficult to work with when wood, but they have those advantages that I mentioned. I don't have to worry about the rod anymore.
Well, can you cut them if you need to?
You can cut them. I had to cut mine down about 6 inches off, maybe 4 inches, because my roof line was a little less than 9 foot. And you can use a circular saw with an abrasive blade.
Oh, the abrasive blades.
It can also be a blade with just a... You can use a typical, like a cutoff blade that you would use for plywood that has... You don't want the steel blade. You need the
carbide.
Carbide.
Yeah.
It needs to be carbide. So I use a regular trimming carbide blade. I didn't use an abrasive blade, okay. But you can use that. And it cut fine. It gets, you know, if you were cutting, like you said, 10 or 15 posts, it would start to get a little hot. But I was only cutting three with time in between, so I didn't have to worry. There was no, you know, major heat. But you do want it to be carbide. So it paints well. It takes a coat of paint really well. In fact, you don't need a lot of paint to cover it, and it's supposed to hold it well. Obviously,
did you paint the ones that you got?
I'm still going to paint them, but that's the word.
Do you have to prime them?
Yeah, you do want to prime them. I think the manufacturer, you need to, you know, check with your manufacturer or whatever you're using, but mine recommends oil-based primer. They say you can use either latex or oil, but they seem to suggest that oil would be better.
Okay. I know there are some trim products that are solid PVC,
yes,
not the hollow.
Right.
They make trim boards and architectural details and so forth. I'm not sure if they have columns or not, but I know the painting and that stuff is paintable. It's like a paintable PVC sort of stuff.
Right.
But they have recommendations regarding the color of the paint.
Yes, they
do. You have to go with lighter colors because of movement and expansion and contraction and so forth. Is there any restrictions on colors, did you notice?
Yes, there is. You cannot use the darker colors. So they tell you, they give you some colors where you can't go darker than, is, you know, as far as the manufacturer does. And my guess is they're all a little bit different depending on how they manufacture the material. So you'll definitely want to check the instructions that come with it.
Okay, so in this FRP product, there probably is going to be some movement like there is with vinyl siding and other vinyl products, even though this is a fiberglass reinforced polymer.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a product that is going to move a little bit with changes in temperature.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. So we're going to talk about the installation of it right after this.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
Okay, Brian, so we talked about this FRP. That's what I installed. And I want to talk about the advantages and disadvantages of installing a fiber-reinforced polymer or plastic FRP. Here's the deal. This is a great structural product. It's strong, but it does have some downsides.
What are those?
Well, what's one of the advantages of working with wood?
You got all the tools.
You got all the tools, correct? You don't have to worry about, you know, which
nothing
blade.
Special,
and,
right?
Yeah.
Wood is, I don't know. I like working with wood.
Yeah.
I build things with wood.
Wood
you
is...
You can nail into it.
Exactly. So that's one of the things. You don't really think about the pros of wood and working with wood until you work with something else. When you work with FRP, an FRP product or fiber reinforced polymer, it is a hard product, and you have to pre-drill any holes you want to drill into. So if you need to attach a bracket, you have to pre-drill, then put the screw in. But it, because it's such a hard and a bit brittle product, the screw doesn't always hold that well.
Okay.
And so it's not as easy. You know, wood, you just screw it in, no big deal. You don't even think about it. But you do have to think about this. And my guess is, you know, you may want to look at to see if the manufacturer recommends any kind of special anchors. You may want to think about that, because a lot of my screw holds aren't all that strong, even though I tried to follow the instructions, pre-drilled. And I probably could use an anchor because it's hollow inside.
Right.
But it's something you need to think about. Like you said, it's not, you just don't slap it up there. If you ever want to hang like a flag or something from the post, again, a round column, I guess some people hang flags from round columns. Mine are square, and we used to have a flag, but now I'm going to have to think, okay, how am I going to do this without, you know, either putting a huge hole
like
in my column.
Like if you put wood screws in there, and then they're going to, if they pull out, then you got a mess, right?
Exactly. So you have
to. Can you use something like Mighty Putty?
No.
Glue it on?
You probably could. Who knows? You probably could. But one thing I did notice is that for filling in holes, you know, you can just use Bondo.
Bondo again, it's our friend, right?
But the trim pieces are actually made of a lighter weight, more of like that foam material.
Okay.
They're a little different, but so, you know, in the trim itself, you can't obviously, you can screw in to hold them, but you couldn't attach anything. They're not structural.
What about adhesives? So, I know some of that like solid PVC stuff, people just glue it up and they glue the miter joints and things like that. Is there a similar type thing with the FRP?
Well, you can just use construction adhesive, and you want to use that for attaching the trim. You usually what they recommend is you actually screw and glue the trim. The screws are really there just to hold it. I'm going to try to tape and glue it and not even use screws, so I don't have to try to go back because it's so light. As far as the columns or the posts themselves, you glue the tops and the bottoms as well as use brackets.
Okay.
Depending, again, this is on your manufacturer's recommendations. And you then caulk around any cracks or anything with I think they generally recommend you use an outdoor caulk that has like a silicone caulk that's also paintable.
Right, like something like that right over there on the desk. Right?
Exactly. So so you caulk your grooves and all that. So, you know, you asked before, is it a one-man job? Well, yeah, but you have to be careful because these are heavy posts and you're trying to slide down the trim pieces that go over it for the bottom and the top and you're leaning the thing sideways and... You know, you don't want
to. You didn't call me to help you. I would have come over and helped.
No,
you.
I did.
I was away.
You were away. It was a beautiful day. Now there is one other disadvantages of this material from wood, and that is this. I had a bit of a mistake.
No,
I made a mistake.
You didn't cut it too short.
The segment is called Handy Guys. Mistakes or something like that? Yeah, actually, I measured two or three times. And I still cut it a quarter inch short on the first post.
But the trim covers that, right?
Well, here's the deal. First of all, I determined later why I screwed up, and that was that the piece on the end of my tape measure, the metal on the end, was somehow must have gotten stepped on or something. It was bent.
Oh.
So when I was measuring, pushing down, it was fine. But when I was pulling it from the end, the piece had actually bent down and under.
Yeah.
So it made my measurements off. And fortunately, I realized it before I did my second and third post, which ended up being perfect, I might add. But the first one, I was off. So no, you can't just cover it up because it's...
Hey, Paul.
The roof is sitting on it.
Right. I got a handy guy tip.
All right.
If you're ever working with someone on a project and you both have tape measures in your tool pouch...
Yeah, you want to check them.
Synchronize
them. Yeah, exactly.
Right? Make sure that those ends are the same so that someone measures, you know, 32 and an eighth. And the other person measures 32 and an eighth, make sure that it's the same.
What if I measured 32 and 2/16?
Same thing.
What about millimeters? So,
I learned that trick from a carpenter.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Handy guy Brian is a genius.
Like,
right, they can be. And you can kind of tweak those ends a little bit, bend them and whatever.
Well, this was bent badly, and I didn't even realize it. And it's unfortunate. So I ended up with a quarter inch too short. So... The other downside, if you said, well, it's covered up with trim, true, but you got to shim it.
Right, you got to shim it and then cover that shim with your trim.
And that's still no problem, but you just kind of, it's never quite as, you know, tight and as strong when you're shimming it. So I shimmed it with wood, and so then you're back to, you know, well, now I have wood up there. So at some point that wood, if it rots or anything,
right.
I guess my roof would just sag a quarter inch on the end. Who cares?
Right. It's not going to be noticeable.
You think you'll notice that from the street?
No, I doubt it.
I just hope that the roof is, you know, on it strong enough. Now, there is one other issue in installing these things that we haven't mentioned, which is really important. And that's you need to figure out what your load bearing is on these columns.
Yes.
And so in my case, my columns... not only do you need to figure out your bearing, but you need to figure out what you need to have columns that can support the appropriate weight.
The appropriate weight, right.
So
exactly.
my particular columns I use, this is called like way overkill, Brian.
Okay.
I think, and I'd have to double check, but if I recall, they could bear, it was either 5,000 or 10,000 pounds, which I knew was way more than I needed. Why? Because I have a small porch roof that hangs off the main part of the house, the front wall, and even if it was... Even if these posts were supporting all of that roof that was in, you know, over the porch and all the, you know, the plywood, the shingles, you know, the supporting wood, it wouldn't have been exceeded the weight of 5,000 pounds, which is 15,000 pounds. But I also had talked to an engineer or an architect, and they said, no, it looks like it's cantilevered. And
right. So in your case, some of that porch roof was actually a continuation
exactly.
of your second floor joists.
Which I confirmed to be true because I could take a post out and the roof didn't even sag much. It may have sagged a quarter inch or so.
Right.
Now, if you as a listener want to do this, you need to figure that out. You need to figure out how your house is built. Maybe if you can't figure it out yourself, talk to an engineer. Figure out what your bearing capacity is and then make sure you get the right material to support it. And then when you want to put it in, you have to consider, how am I going to support the roof when I'm installing it?
Right. Temporary supports.
And let's just talk about that in just a moment.
Want to be notified of every new Handy Guys podcast episode? Simply enter your email address in our subscription box at handyguyspodcast.com.
Okay, Brian, our final part of the show here is, how do you temporarily support a roof when you're going to replace the post?
You got to make sure your temporary supports are at least as strong as whatever you're pulling out.
Right.
And, you know, often people will use a 2x10 or a couple of 2x10s and put them on an angle all the way to the ground, or they'll use a 4x4 or a 6x6 and they'll wedge it under there, maybe with a jack to raise up that roof a quarter of an inch, something like that. So you got to make sure that that's equally as strong as what you're removing, and then, like you said, your new post is going to be as strong, if not stronger, than what you're replacing.
So what I did was I just kind of created a jig of sorts. I got the bottle jack from my truck. It has a rectangular piece on the top of it that's maybe an inch by 4 inches or so, something like that. And I took my chop saw and made a groove in the bottom of a 4x4. I just used some scrap wood. I had a 4 foot piece of 4x4, made a groove so that the jack would fit right into that groove tightly. And then I nailed, picked up whatever I had. I could have used a 2x4 because I didn't need that much strength. I happened to have a 2x10. I just nailed it to the side of the 4x4, so it was right about the right height. And with about six or eight screws. And then I took it and I jacked it up, and it was plenty strong, easily.
Sure.
In my case. And you only need to jack it up just a smidgen. That's the thing when you're doing posts. You don't want to do it too much. You don't want to be messing around with the structure of your house, you know, cracking support beams and things like that.
Right. Just enough to take the weight off.
Maybe,
that's all you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe 2/3/16, maybe a quarter inch tops, you know, to get that post out. And what it allowed me to do is then to pull out the post and all the, it was nailed in on the top and all that. So you need to consider how you're going to support that when you put up. Now, if you have a huge beam that's holding up your roof and you have a lot of columns, because maybe you have a railing and the columns were put there so you could have railing, you know, every 6 feet or something like that, it may be that you can remove a whole post without the support. But again, you should probably talk to an expert, and you still might want to jack it up a little so that the other post will slide in there.
Just make it easier.
Yeah, it does make it easier. It makes it easier to get the posts out and to get the new one in, and it's not hard to do. Once you create a jig or something to get to jack it up, it just goes fast. So that's what I recommend you do, and there you have it. That's how you can replace your
porch posts. New porch posts.
I have brand new porch posts. They still need to be painted and caulked, and then we'll be ready to go.
Excellent. So, well, then we can do my porch.
There you go.
Get those PVC
yours
ones
aren't
out of there.
I don't think they're rotten out, though.
They're not rotten out, but they look like PVC posts.
Ah, they're fine. All right, that's all we have for this week. We'll be back next week. I'm Paul.
I'm Brian.
We're the Handy Guys. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
The Handy Guys will be back next week. Same handy time, same handy website.